Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They were called the Lords of Torture. These warriors would amputate selected limbs from their victims and then force the poor souls to hobble around to serve as a reminder for everybody of who exactly was in control. Flaying their prisoners alive and hanging the skin on the city wall was another favorite technique. Most common, though, was shoving a metal spike into the ribcage of their enemies, who, as they weakened, helplessly slid down the spike, forcing it deeper and deeper until death finally came. They were the Assyrians, terrors of the ancient Middle East for hundreds of years. Their capital was Nineveh, a giant city that took 3 days to cross on foot. It was a place of debauchery and enjoyment of the spoils of war. For centuries, these people terrorized their neighbors, and their evil was unbridled. And these were the people to whom God sent Jonah to preach. How do you like that? As a Jew, he was one of their sworn enemies. Who knows what they would do to him when he went strolling into that city, rebuking them with God's law? It wasn't a bad idea, you know, that he came up with boarding that boat, heading in the opposite direction. Death at sea, even being swallowed by a giant fish, would be better than preaching to these scoundrels. But it wasn't really torture and death at the hands of the Assyrians that bothered Jonah. No. What he really feared was that God would actually show mercy to the Ninevites and forgive their sin. Well, you know the rest of the story. The bad storm and being thrown overboard, 3 days in a fish belly, all followed by perhaps the most successful sermon ever preached in history. The whole city was rebuked and forgiven by God's word, and Jonah, well, he was furious. Oh, Lord! Is this not what I said while I was still in my country? Why'd you make me come out here? I knew you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he said. Jonah was actually complaining. Where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Where's the punishment, he was asking. More concerned with a gourd than all the people and cows in the city, Jonah pouted, hoping, praying, begging God to destroy these wretched people. But God gave mercy instead of judgment. God gave unfairness instead of justice, all of which made Jonah so mad he was suicidal. Well, I suppose we shouldn't be too hard on Jonah. I suspect everybody within earshot of Jesus' parable we just heard is having a Jonah moment. The ones who sat on their duff and worked 1 minute got paid the same amount as the poor stiffs who worked all day. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Where's the justice? Where's the fairness? Where's the reward for hard work? Are you envious because I am good? The landowner in the parable asked. Well, yes, actually, we are envious because it's unjust, it's unfair, it's illegal. But hear me. When I say we have a bigger problem than being envious of God's goodness to the undeserving, our real problem is God's omnipotent sovereignty, his ability to do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it, and he doesn't even care what we think or how we feel about it. Just look around. Look around this world and you'll see what I'm talking about. The headlines, that's God's will. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, is how Jesus said it in the parable. Indeed, we have a real problem with God's rights. We have a real problem with God being an outlaw, that is, not behaving according to law or reason or rationale. I suppose we could get used to the first being last and the last being first. It's distasteful to be sure, but an uncontrollable God? Well, that's far more terrifying because that means he determines our fate, not us. That means our hands are stilled and our mouth is shut, waiting for God to do whatever he's going to do to us for reasons known only to him. Working all day or 1 minute but getting paid the same, that's not really the issue. Our hope isn't in God's fairness and justice at all. If it were, we'd have no hope. Instead, our only hope is for God to choose to be merciful to us. And so we come to the heart of the matter. What's God going to do to me? Well, I'm glad you asked. As a spokesman of this Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you the entirety of your sin. There's your promise. God has acted. For Christ's sake, the omnipotent sovereign Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love for you. Amen.